evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It's 2-23-23. Yes. And, oh, I'll tell you, all kind of stuff happening. There is a ton of items that I would call that are coincidence. Oh, there are no coincidences when they're clustering. We have a lot of clustering. We have all kind of clusters, it seems, you see. And I will say this, is that in these clusters, we're seeing all kind of cute little things that are just tied to the last little thing, you see. We had, interestingly enough, the plane that came out of the Bill and Hillary Clinton airport that had the investigators on it, all right? Had the investigators on it, all right? And they, quite frankly, took off and they crashed and five died. Now, apparently, they were headed for the factory in Ohio, headed for the factory in Ohio that, had the making of brass casings and that kind of stuff. The metal factory. Allegedly, they made casings and things for ammunition. All right? There was an explosion or whatever there. Well, then this thing. Now, I also looked at the initials, and I'm not so sure that if those people, the environmental or the research people, are not also related possibly, allegedly, to the ones that Norfolk Southern may have hired to be there in East Palestine, all right? Where the Jig Your Booty went down today, of course, the Jig Your Booty. He had to go because Trump went yesterday, and Trump paid for all the McDonald's for the whole town and then brought the pallets full of water out of his own pocket. Meanwhile, you give billions of dollars to the Ukraine to then bring the United States into a full war and NATO into war with Russia, which now China is going to be supporting Russia. And Tony Blair says we're depending on China to hold Russia back. So we have what? We have all kind of interesting things then, don't we? All right. And if you go to Matthew 24, like we always do, where Lord Jesus in the red letters and he says what? What does he say? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. He's talking about the end of everything. The end of all things, you see, but the end is not yet, because these must come to pass. But at the same time, you see, wars are going to have casualties and people dead and homes destroyed and buildings destroyed. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That is what Lord Jesus has to say in the red letters. If you get a red letter Bible, you can really focus in on what Jesus has to say. And then if you go to Ezekiel 38, all right? Ezekiel 38, and then I'm going to tie it back to Ezekiel 1. Son of man, set thy face against God, the land of Magog, and the the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal and prophesy against him. Oh, you know, it's kind of interesting. Meshech and Tubal, you have Tubal Cain, a Meshech, and the land of Gog and Magog is really part of the steppes, all right? You know, of that area. And if you look in the old, all you Masonics out there, you got to understand who Tubal Cain is. T-U-B-A Cain, okay? But Tubal Cain, could it be Tubal, as in Tubal Cain? Could it be born in a test tube? All right? A clone of Cain later on, or a test tube baby born of Cain, all right? Because the fallen angels, the Anunnaki, if you read about the Anunnaki in ancient Sumeria, those from whom the heavens came, and Brother Quayle has done an exceptional job with his book on the giants and all of the different books he's done, angels, aliens and fallen angels, you know, Terminated, the End of Man is Near, I mean, all of the different books that Brother Quayle has put out. And taking you down through the things, you know, the also beneath the ice. All right. How the Nazis won the World War II. I mean, all of these books that he's done, Angel Wars, I mean, all of them. If you can get Steve's books, you need to get them so that you can show them to your children, your grandchildren, to your neighbor. If you want to get extras, there are extras to get because they're disappearing quickly because Steve has never been able to get a good quote on a price or a time frame to reprint the books because of the shortages of ink and paper and all kind of stuff. And so consequently, if you can get any of them, get them now. If you can get an extra one, donate it to your church library or donate it to your public library or give it to your neighbor and tell them to pass it on. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. I think the bucklers and the shields, all of them handling swords, if in my mind's eye I see a tank with a
heavy gun outstretched, it looks like a sword, and they also have then the shields and the armor, you see. And that seems to be what they're trying to concoct up as a tank battle.
The Polish government is putting up anti-tank defenses on the Belarusia, on the border with Belarusia. Okay. Oh boy,
Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya,
with them,
all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, is that Germany and part of France? And all his bands. Because you see, at some point in time, in order for Germany to survive, in terms of natural gas, oil, etc., to run their industry and to run their factories, their homes, their trains, everything, they're probably going to have to side or step away from fighting Russia. Or Russia will destroy them as well. These nuclear weapons, Medvedev, and for those who don't know, the younger people or the older people, Medvedev used to be the head of Russia, when Putin dropped out for a short period of time to make it look like they had free elections, and then his buddy Medvedev took it over. Now Medvedev would be like a number two or a backup, you see. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself all thy company that are assembled and unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of all of the nations, and they shall dwell safely among them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and there shall be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Verse 10, Ezekiel 38. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, he's talking to Gog, Magog here, see? And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Do you have any walls outside of your village? And go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. See, he talks about Israel first. But then he says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass. So then you're talking about the land of the unwalled villages, you see. That's America. Brother Quayle, I've talked about that many times. That's America, in our opinion, in our view. So, we're going to get hit here. At some point in time, in some fashion, we're already experiencing sabotage. Now, all the different things, this train is highly suspect, all right, the East Palestine. Highly suspect, you see. But then we also have other items going on, too. We have at Oak Ridge. You know, we talked to you about Oak Ridge over the years, haven't we? All right? Talked to you about Oak Ridge over the years, all right? And Oak Ridge is where they have the plant to make the uranium that they made for the first atom bombs and stuff. And to do the research. Where they, now they, you know, still make new nuclear weapons, but they also decommission stuff. And then basically it was yesterday, and they, at the Y-12 emergency response operation has ended, Knoxville, Tennessee. It's really outside of Knoxville in Alcoa and that kind of area. Oak Ridge is kind of its own thing. And they said Stephen White of the NNSA said there was a hood fire in Building 9212, a uranium processing facility, and the building and some nearby areas were evacuated. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, this harkens back to me. I believe it was the year 2005, may have been 2004, but I think it was probably 2005. And if you recall back in 2005, Oak Ridge was penetrated at a fence area, and there allegedly was some material stolen and put onto a truck, and they took off. Well, you had a really good high sheriff in that area, and the high sheriff and the deputies, they took off looking for whoever had left, and they caught up with this truck going north. Out of Tennessee, going north towards the East Coast, going northeast, all right? And they stopped them and arrested the guys, and they had some nuclear material allegedly in the back, and they arrested these two guys
But then all of a sudden there was a big, they took him back, put him in jail, and they were going to charge him. And then all of a sudden the federales, the FBI and the EIEIOs and all the different intelligence people and stuff came into the mix to take these two guys and to take them into the federal courts in D.C. or whatever. Well, it turns out they were released to the feds, and then the feds took them to the court, and then they had a slap on the wrist, and then they got some kind of a sentence, and then I believe they were either deported or whatever. The problem was that whoever broke into that at that time allegedly had ties to Mossad, which then they had to cover that up to get it, because allegedly, back then they were stealing material, allegedly to take it to, like, the Northeast, to New York or New Jersey or wherever, to, you know, Boston, wherever they were taking it, out of the Oak Ridge area. And that old sheriff was a toughie. He stuck to his guns. They made him, they had to pry those guys out of his hands. Now, all the good peace officers out there, the elected sheriffs, their deputies who are doing a good job to try to protect the counties, and that's to all the good ones, the peace officers, not the ones who want to grind everybody and do this, that, and the other, and play the game. No, I'm talking about the good people. And there are a number of them. So let me just say this. They had to take them and take them and take them back because they allegedly were going to take that material they got from Oak Ridge and then blow something up with it, or do a C-burn attack, you know, do a radioactive attack, or blow it up in some kind of way and call it a Muslim terrorist deal, all right? But it's no great shakes or no interesting thing that the FBI then had to come in and to help them out, because the FBI has created all kind of terror events with their little cells and the little deals, you see, where their undercovers do this or that or the other and all the different things. And then, or they go out and they pay somebody who's a dupe to go in and then start the bomb making. He's like the number three guy or something, you know. So you have one of the most corrupt agencies on the planet, the FBI. At the top, corrupt as all get out. Running the counterintelligence, you see. And then I think that easily that Y-12, Oak Ridge, I think it's probably been penetrated for a long time. And this is just another one of these deals that are sort of like out of the Overture. Or the Great Terror, as some call, which then becomes the Red Terror. But let's call it the Overture, what the Russians call it. Viktor Suvorov, in his book, and it was his book had the chapter in it, Spetsnaz First World War. It's chapter 15, Spetsnaz First World War, Viktor Suvorov. The GRU reckons that this period in its operation should be regarded as natural disasters. Oh, actions by forces beyond human control. Oh, planes that fall out of the sky right after takeoff that just happen to have technology people and researchers who could have identified the cause of the unidentified cause of the plane explosion in Ohio, where they make brass or bronze and that kind of stuff. Or somebody who could go and take a look and see the whole deal about the train, you know, in East Palestine. Or the train, the hazardous material, Norfolk Southern train that derailed up in Detroit. Or the derailed trains outside of Houston. Or the derailed train, you know, outside, I believe it was South Carolina. All of these different things, you see. Forces behind human control, mistakes committed by people
or as terrorist acts by organizations not connected with Russia, you see, or the Red Chinese in this case. The terrorist acts carried out in the course of the overture require very few people, very few weapons, and little equipment. In some cases, all that may be needed is one man who has a weapon, nothing more than a screwdriver, or a box of matches, or a glass ampule. Some of the operations can have catastrophic consequences. For example, an epidemic? Oh! Of an infectious disease at seven of the most important naval bases in the West could have the effect of cutting in half or having the combined naval might of the Russians' enemies. The overture could last from several weeks to several months, gradually gathering force and embracing fresh regions. At the same time, there you go, GUSM would become involved in photographs compromising a NATO chief appear on the front page of the Western newspapers. A scandal explodes. It appears that some of the NATO people have been having meetings with high-ranking Russian diplomats and handing over top-secret papers. All efforts to refute the story only fuel the fire. You see, that's other stuff that you're going to start to see happening, and you're already starting to see it happen. So, consequently, we got at Y-12 at, I believe it's what it's near Alcoa, Tennessee, Oak Ridge Lab. We have another incident, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you what. Everybody on these security things, you better get some real-life security on there, and you better switch up your crap. You know what I'm saying? And it wouldn't be a bad thing to start to double-check your new hires and all of that stuff, all right? And I will say this also to any of the good deputies and sheriffs and police out there that are peace officers. And you'd like to protect your community instead of just write parking tickets and speeding tickets and this and that and the other tickets. All right? If you would like to protect your community, then go around to your various potential targets, chemical plants, the power substations, and talk to the people. Tell them, why don't you put up a guard, a physical live guard, not just a camera? You've got all these big businesses, the big agricultural businesses, the chemical plants, the railway lines, all the different terminals, the grain elevators, all this stuff. They're big business, millions of dollars, all right? Even the ammonia tanks and the propane tanks and the big feed stores and stuff that you have in certain rural areas. They can afford to put somebody, actually a live security on, to stay awake, which got a pistol, all right, and access to a shotgun and some night vision, and walk around the place and watch for stuff to go down. It would be worth the while to do that. Instead, what we're seeing is the feds in neighborhoods in Washington State, you know, maybe out near Bellevue or different places in the, you know, outside of Seattle there, where they're putting cameras up everywhere to watch the people, you see, to watch the people and to watch the bus stops and all the stuff. And they don't necessarily know who the cameras are. So I'm going to say this. We got to do security to prevent problems. But oh no, you got a helicopter circled my house probably 3, 4, 5 times today. Right overhead. Just ridiculous. And so that's more of the different potential sabotage, all right? Now, there is a P-8 over Knoxville. A P-8 Poseidon, the highest level type of sensing devices and stuff, to look for submarines. We've been telling you about this for quite some time, about how there are a lot of Russians in and around that area and that they're trying to possibly take out the TVA dams. We tied that in with the activity in the lake regions, the Great Lakes, the St. Lawrence Seaway coming over, and the fact that there quite probably still are Russian tsunami-type submarines that have nuclear weapons that can sit for 6 months on the bottom, and they run themselves. They make their own decisions. Or they can take a signal from outside, all right, and then surface up and launch. And all of a sudden, you got a tidal wave that takes the Great Lakes down every river going south, all right, Missouri, Mississippi, etc., Ohio, Illinois, all boom, 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 you know, Wabash. And take them all the way down until you get into the A meet and the Co meet, you know. Now, I've been to Benanitas on the A meet river years ago. Or they drag race. Coming up the river, they drag race and they go down on fast drag strip boat, drag racing boats, and they go. One goes into the two tunnels. If anybody's coming on after them from the other direction, they got to get through quicker so they don't hit them head on. Benanitas, where it tips into the river, you know. Anyway, that's just an aside. But now PH over Knoxville. Well, that PH been there for a while looking for small group activity of Ruski, all right? And I remember Brother Greg Evenson talking about how they used to practice. The Special Forces did against Russian Spetsnaz who were going to try to take out the dams in the TVA region, Tennessee Valley Authority region, that produce electricity for all that whole area. And some of them are nuclear power plants as well. Well, what better way to do that if you maybe could start up a thing and get some stuff going in Alcoa and in Oak Ridge there at Y-12 and do that, and it could be a whole different deal. But by golly, that PH's been there for quite some time looking, and they're still looking for somebody, and they're looking for stuff in the rivers. Tennessee, French Broad, Cane Tuck, all the different rivers in that area. So that's a tie-in, you see. It's a strong tie-in. And then now we're going to up the number of people. They say, oh, we're going to put in 200 to 400 into Taiwan for training. We got U.S. Marines that have been on that island with the Taiwanese Marines with, you know, they've been on that island outside of Taiwan for, you know, 2-3 years. They've been training them for 2 years. And there's a lot more than 200 to 400, let me tell you. And then now they want all kind of troops, more troops to go into Poland. They're talking about taking tanks out there, and that the Big Red One is going to go. Well, some elements of that have just come back from Poland, but it looks like they may go en masse. So I'm going to say this, I'm just going to state it for effect, is that if you see something happen, it's up to you to defend the United States. You will be called upon by the Lord Jesus to stand in the gap against evil as it comes down your neighborhood, as it comes down your rural road, as it goes up your mountain track, as it comes down your, you know, river or creek or stream, or across your lake. The Lord Jesus is going to require you to stand up. And I'm going to tell you, the first preparation is to say, Lord Jesus, I'm repenting of my sins here, Lord. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. And if you do that and you're sincere, Jesus knows it. He'll know immediately, and he'll start to wash you clean. He'll start to wash you clean, and he'll proof you up, and he'll gradually, your fear will start to dissipate, and you will feel stronger and bolder in the strength of the Lord Jesus. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You see? You see what I'm saying? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, you see? Yeah. Well, you better have your rod and staff. You put on the full armor of God. You get right with Lord Jesus, and then you put on your Mitch, your PASCAD helmet, or your World War II or Vietnam area steel pot, all right? It'll turn a little bit of, it'll turn some shrapnel, you know. Keep your head down and it'll pop off the top. It'll turn some shrapnel or flying dust or rocks. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, well, a good friend I know who has had some health problems, but he's got his vest out and he's been walking around the back 40, so to speak. And he said, oh, man, this thing is heavy. And I said, better be heavy than dead, you know. If you do not have the things that you might need, and if you have the capability of getting, if you do not, you can't afford it, and you're barely making it, which I understand completely. Understand that completely. I was fortunate to start to get my stuff years ago, all right, because I could see this coming, and the Lord was preparing me and showing me, even long before I came on air. And I've been on air working on, going on towards 19 years. Now, I've talked to some people and I've said, you know, well, you know, you've been listening to me all these years. How many days food if for you, just for you, let's not take your family, just say for you, how many days food if one can of chunky soup or Progresso soup is one ration a day, using that as just an example. If that's one ration a day, one time a day you eat, how many days could you eat? And some people say, well, maybe 15 days. I said, then you better get busy real quick. I've been telling you for over 18 years, you know. Then other people have really stocked up. And I would also say to you, if you can get long-term storage food, then be sure and get some. You can also get the cans of Yoder's beef and Yoder's bacon and chicken and pork. There's Survival Cave. There's all kind of different brands of canned meat that will last 15 years or 20 years, okay? But if you get the long-term storage food, you also have to have the water to reconstitute it, the mountain house or the dehydrated or the alpenair or whatever it is. You have to be able to rehydrate it with the water. So I would tell you that you need, like, you know, 5-gallon kegs and 15-gallon kegs and 1-gallon jugs and that kind of stuff. I have the 50-gallon drums, which you need a lot of water. That's the way to keep it, but you got to have the pump. You know, the squeegee pump or whatever that you call it to keep pumping it out into smaller containers. But you better have the smaller containers because if you got to run, you're going to have to take the Berkey water filtration system and any other portable. You might have a Katy Dyne or a Pure portable, but you're going to have to take them both. You have to take them quick with water containers so that you can have that 1 to 2 gallons a day for drinking and for washing, okay? You're going to really need to figure about 2 gallons a day. But the average shower that somebody gets in says, oh, boy, the shower feels so nice and warm. They're running hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water. So it's going to be a bit different. It's going to be a little stinkier in the future, if you know what I mean. But you'd better have water and water purification. Now, if you can get gas masks, I highly tell you to do because had the people had gas masks, military-grade gas masks with extra filters, and for their children's, if they had the
baby Rangers and the youth Rangers, and then the youth gas masks that are a little bit bigger. But the baby Ranger is a positive pressure system, first invented in England years ago after they had used poison gas during World War I. Some people were familiar with the gas and thought it might be used on the cities. So if you can, if at all possibilities, get a military-grade gas mask, brand new, not a surplus, you know, deal, not a surplus one at Joe's Army-Navy store, but only if it's brand new, in the box, brand new, and you get the ones that are full NBC quality or Seaburn quality filtration systems, the filters, and get extra for each one. Then for your kids, you can get, if you got a small baby, you get the Baby Ranger positive pressure system. You can take a kid out and take them through, and it will keep that junk from getting in there into the covering that surrounds the baby. Then you have a little bit bigger one for a smaller, for a child that can walk, let's say. And then for the youth, you got the small gas mask. Because the kids can't wear the big gas mask. They've got to have a seal. They got a seal on your face, on your head. And when you get one, you can get one that you can put in inserts that you can put in prescription lenses behind the goggles. Some people really need the prescription lens. I suggest you try and get that if you can. Now, when I say do that, I mean, there are people out there that don't have anything, but they have, I don't know, 401ks that are huge, or IRAs that are huge, or stock funds, or this thing, or that thing, the other thing. It amazes me sometimes when people say, "Well, I've only got 900,000 in my, my 401k. You know, that ain't enough." Well, do you have any food to eat? Well, yeah, I've got enough for next week. You know. Oh, I've got some extra oatmeal and cereal. Well, why don't you take out 10 grand and get your family poor food for a year or 2 years? Get it out of your bank and get it into your pantry, you see. Get it in there. Now, with the gas mask, a Tyvek F suit. I've told you about this a lot of times. You want to know more about it, then get Dare to Prepare, Holly Dale, or get No Such Thing as Doomsday by The Hoax, or, you know, HOAG, all right? Learn about nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, all right? East Palestine, they could have had gas masks, and baby Rangers, they could have taken their kids, put them in the car, and taken off. They would have had, over the years, if you pay attention, they might have had Berkey water filtration systems, all right? If you have the Berkey with the black Berkey filters, it will take out the viruses, protozoa, you know, all kinds of different bacterias, the parasites, it will take them out, but it also will take 99.9% of all chemicals out of the water. So I'm going to tell you, do you think that's a good thing to have? Now that we're seeing derailments here, derailments there, derailments the other, planes coming out of the sky, power grids going out. And that's another thing. Wall Street Journal's even figured this out, although they ascribe it to a case that's different. They're talking about power grid attack surge and are likely to continue, study finds. Of course, they ascribe it to, terrorists and MAGA Republicans and that. And if you see also, there was a pipe bomb found on a train track, you see, on the East Coast up there somewhere. Of course, I think it was either Philadelphia or somewhere like that. I forget the exact town. But you know where the FBI found it, don't you? Right behind the Catholic Church. And they specifically mentioned this Catholic Church there. Because the new target of the FBI are Christians and what they're calling aggressive pro-life Catholics, you see. If you're pro-life and you're for Lord Jesus and you're not for a bunch of light in the loafers and XYZ54379s to run everything and steal the hearts and lives and bodies of your children and minds. If you're not for that, you see, then the FBI is coming for you because they're a corrupt secret police working for El Beijing, who is paid and bought allegedly by the Red Chinese through his son, the Hunter, you see. But then you see who runs them. Well, is it the bankers and the CIA, the MI6, the Mossad, the Surete, the what, you know, bop, 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 the FSB, you see. But then who runs them? It's the bankers above them, isn't it? And then the fallen angels? And it's Lucifer's plan. That's whose plan this is. And if you do not believe that he is real, that this devil is real, and probably on this planet in Antarctica, then you're missing the boat. Because I'm going to tell you, where do you think all of these 50 to 70 different mass killings in the last, since the beginning of this year, have happened? It is the awakening, the black awakening. Brother Dizdar, and I forget the wonderful woman who used to, she was the secretary to a Navy admiral, and she was a friend of Brother Quayle, and that Navy admiral, who was a submarine admiral, told her that Steve Quayle was the only guy that knew what he was talking about at the time, and that she ought to listen to him. Can't think of the name. Probably has something to do with the helicopter buzzing around and charging up the goofball, jammer or whatever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're under attack right now with sabotage. We also have Navy SEAL Mike Lawrence, Special Warfare Operator. And this guy's been in 14 years. He's got silver stars, all kind of decoration accommodations in the real bad war, the real bad terrorism stuff, the one-on-one or the small team stuff to go in and take them all out, you see. And these SEALs, I've met Golden Knights. I've met SEALs who were, you know, experts at parachuting and, you know, doing jumps and halos. Hey-hos, all the different stuff, regular things, and most of them will, in a lot of cases, want to pack their own chute. Now, when you go to training things, you got a quick hop, and you go out to Arizona to train, then there's so-called mishaps, which they do not define what a mishap is or any kind of a thing, and it's in some kind of a training jump. Well, here's a SEAL that's been jumping for over 14, 15 years and jumping into combat zones and doing all kind of stuff. And I've seen SEAL team and Golden Knights, that's the Army teams, I've seen them land on a dime, you know. Come out of a C-130 up above somewhere or come out of another aircraft and kaboom and then come in on a football field and land right on about a 2-foot square, you know, in the center of the 50-yard line. So I don't know. I say, who packed the chute? Who packed the chute? Does somebody have an axe to grind with this particularly skilled Navy SEAL? Very skilled operator who is decorated and is a brave operator. And maybe is somebody who goes for the truth. Was there somebody that he knows about or that he saw? Okay, because I go back a number of years and I talk about on air. I used to know a SEAL. Became an admiral. But he was made an admiral after they were involved in some things, you know. They were involved in some different taking out some stuff on an island. But then when he gets there, he blows up some of the stuff, and he goes on in there. He was told not to go in there and to wait for a while, but he went on in and found a whole bunch of stuff, and then turns out somebody at that point turned something against him and fired a weapon that was not a usual type of weapon, and then that caused him great consternation. He wakes up at a hospital somewhere over, I don't know, England, Netherlands, I don't know where it was, somewhere in the Europe or the UK, but he wakes up there, but then he's disabled, you see, and they go through all the debriefing and all the stuff, then they make him an admiral, then they say, oh, well, he's kind of goopy, you know, so let's send him somewhere, and they send him somewhere, but he comes back to the United States, and he wanted to live on a farm because he had animals. Scott Ridley also had a lion, by the way, when he lived on a farm when he was active. But when I met the guy, the Pentagram ran all of his finances, and they had him in a like an old folks, you know, place where he could kind of come and go, but he had to check out when he left, and you know, sort of something like that. And he was not old. He was, I don't know, say in his mid-40s, late-40s, something like that, maybe 50. Cogent and smart as a whip and knew all the world, all the stuff was buried, but they said he was crazy. So rather than send him to the Wisconsin, to the one of the
captive Indian
moccasin-making villages, just that the
feds run
a lot of that stuff and have money that controls it, and then they use some of that places to send special ops at times on the booby train ride, you know, the booby hatch ride, and they send them and they make moccasins, you see, therapeutic. So anyway, without getting too much back into that,
pack your own chutes out there, boys and girls. And for this average American person, you can't conceive this, but can you conceive having enough food in your house to feed your family for a year or at least a month or 2 months or 3 months and then keep adding as you go to have a rifle with, you know, minimum of 1,000 rounds of ammunition? Or if you can't afford that, if Uncle Joe can give you a 12-gauge shotgun, which is also good to have along with the rifle. Well, if you could get it, you could have 1,000 shells varying from double-aught buck, number 4 buck, fire shells, you know, the sail cutters, all kind of stuff. Number 2, number 3, number 2, number 4 shot, whatever it might be. Sabot slugs, you know. Flechette rounds? Oh, boy. Those would work pretty good in the brush, wouldn't they? Or if you had a pistol or a revolver or maybe both. You know, it ain't nothing wrong to have a revolver with a 357 where you can shoot 357 and a 38 special. So you got double your trouble on ammunition, all right? Those calibers are very common, you see. Or if you got something with a 45 caliber, a 40 caliber, or a 9 millimeter. Excellent.
But you need to get some of this stuff. If you can have a level 3, 3A, or a 4, a level 4 vest, if you can find some good ones, and you can go to Sportsman's Guide. Sportsman's Guide. Body armor, you'll be able to see some rugged stuff that's not too expensive. I've also, you can go to Major, Major Surplus out of California. If you're more out on that side, take a
Kevlar helmet, okay? Or look up helmets, and you'll see all the different types they've got. But you need to start putting some of this together and do it on a methodical basis with a ramped-up speed now. Ramped-up speed. Putin basically just created there's no longer any treaty about nuclear weapons. No longer any START treaty, nothing. Medvedev now today or yesterday saying that Russia is allowed to use nukes because the West and the United States and NATO are attacking Russia, want to destroy Russia. And that's an all-out war already. Brother Quayle, the Health Ranger, put out a real good report the other day. I'm trying to tell you that you better believe what Lord Jesus has to say in Matthew 24 and also Luke 21, and you better have Matthew 25, which tells you the remedy, which you're going to need lamps and lamp oil, or you can't go into the marriage because you ain't ready. You can't see when the bridegroom coming, or if he says to you, stand in the gap and wait until I do come with my archangels and my angels to clean the clocks on these Luciferian scum. Yeah. Brother Mickey Lapua just sent me scientists heading to Ohio killed in plane crash. Yes, they were. Absolutely. Yes, they were. All right. So anyway. You need to prepare. You need to prepare as best you can. And if you don't have the money or you don't have something, then pray specifically, Lord Jesus. You say to him, Lord Jesus, please help me to prepare myself and my family. We do not have the money to get a lot of extra food. We can maybe get a few cans extra of soup or whatever, or put back a bag of rice. Well, you can do that, but you say, Lord Jesus, is there any way that you can help me? Can you boost my income? Can you put me in contact with somebody that perhaps I can trade or barter my time to help protect them or their farm or their business in exchange? They'll help supply me and my family with extra long-term storage food to do so. You pray specific prayers to the Lord Jesus as he tells you in John 14. He tells you anything you ask in my name, I will do it. Be specific. He's busy. Give him a good, quick, clean thing that's a statement of what it is you want or that you need, and ask him to help you to get it. And I'm going to tell you what, he will tell you, yeah, or it's coming, but then you better keep on the lookout for it and see what it is. It's like the guys in the flood, you see, they stranded on the rooftop, you know, and all of that. And the guys come by in a boat and they say, hey, jump on down. We'll get you fish out of the water and take you away in the boat. Nope, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it to be rescued by God. And then it comes over and there comes out a helicopter, comes down, put the rope down. They say, grab onto the rope. Get off the rope. We'll take you to safety. And the guy says, no, thanks. I'm waiting for God to save me. You get the picture? The picture, right? So you don't want to go in a Luciferian night without a fight, and you got to be your own general store. Remember the old-timey general stores? I used to travel in the South back in the old days, real old days. I mean, you know, like old days. When I used to go there, and I can remember going there and also into the Ozarks when I was a kid. You drive through, and it was a whole different world back then. But I can remember even into the in parts of Tennessee and parts of Alabama and Mississippi and different places where you go up. I remember going into one of those old general stores up a country road off of the Smoky, up in the Smokies up there one time, and they had all the old men sitting around the old pot-bellied stove spitting tobacco into cans, all right, and giving you the hairy eyeball, like you might be a revenueer or whatever. And I went on in, and I got got some stuff to eat or whatever it was, and I was getting gas outside. And I remember all of that stuff. And that, you see, they had like a general store. They had ammunition, they had oil, you know, for your car. They had different clothing items. They had food, some canned food and different things. They had some, you know, water. They had coffee. They had all, you know, just everything under the sun in a general store. Hammers, screwdrivers, screws, nails, all the different things. That's what you need to develop your basement, your garage, or whatever. If you got an outbuilding or something, do it there. A workshop, what have you. And then you also need bug out bags, a big bag, a house load. All right. But you also need a fighting load, where you can take the house load off and go on the fighting load, and you can go out and scavenge around. On a fighting load, you need to be able to operate for maybe a week. All right. Week, 10 days. With the house load, you're walking to somewhere else, all right? You're looking for the cave and the hole in the rock, you know, that's got the spring nearby or your bug-out position, because you can't get off Interstate 40 or 57 or 55 or I-70 or I-80 or the I-10 or the I-5 or the I-95 because they're parking lots, because the EMP took out almost all the cars. Get yourself the book if you still can. Go to the bookstore or order it and get it overnight. 1 second after, William R. Forstchen, F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N. It's a Forge book. 1 second after. And then, of course, Patriots, Surviving the Coming Cup, Pack Collapse, James Wesley Rowe. Don't go into their Luciferian knife out of fight, ladies and gentlemen. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family, your house, your business. Bill of Rights. Mighty men and women about her. Use your high technology. I know you're up there. I've seen your TR-3B last year at about 1,000 feet over an intersection. Use your high technology to strike blows against the enemy. Against the enemies of constitutional Bill of Rights America. Bandango Rangers, I know you're ready. Nick in the pool, you're the best on the option. They don't want you hand to hand. You better be hoping that you just shoot them in a 1200 car. Road and track and little L. God bless you. God bless you, and He loves you. You say hi to your daddy. And mind all of your lessons as well as your Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. Hey, Lord.